Hello, and welcome to the Music Teacher Coffee Talk podcast. I'm Tanya.
And I'm Carrie. We are both elementary music teachers who love to talk shop, preferably over a steaming cup of coffee. This is episode number 154. Today we are talking about our takeaways from the 2024 OAKE National Conference. We'll also talk about our highs and lows from the teaching week, discuss some ideas in our Know Better, Do Better segment, share a Work Smarter, Not Harder teacher tip.
And in our CODA section, we'll give some specific recommendations of our favorite things we are enjoying in and out of the music room. So grab your beverage of choice and let's get started. This is the time where we talk about our highs or lows from the teaching week. Carrie, how was your week back after spring break?
Well, it was a little rough because I got sick at the tail end of spring break. So we came back from Oak in Chicago and spent some time there with my family who lives out in the Midwest, and then came home and had a couple days before we had to return to school, and I got super sick, just a really bad sinusy cold thing, not COVID, but it felt like it. Anywho, just felt awful, lost my voice, which is why my voice is mostly back, but it's not, 100%. So if I sound a little craggly, that's why. So it was a bit of a slow start just because I wasn't feeling 100%, but I got through it. But my high is this. I am leading up to a high. Just yesterday, actually, I had a student, a fifth grade student, who she's just one of my great all around music kids. She participates in choir. She's in my musical right now. She actually has a featured solo in the musical. And she just wrote me a really sweet letter of appreciation and handed it to me yesterday morning as she walked in the building, because I'm a morning greeter, so I always see her in the morning on her way in. And it was just really sweet, thanking me for what I do and for giving her opportunities. And the best part was she said something about how, having this solo and the opportunities she's had is giving her a boost of confidence. And it just made me feel really good that the stuff we do, and this is kind of what we're going to talk about later too a little bit, the stuff we do is just, it's not about the music we make in the moment. It's about like these bigger things that we give to our kids, right? And the confidence and the life skills we give them. So just a sweet reminder that we're doing the good work, right?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Just made my day, made my week.
Yeah.
How about you, Tanya? High or low?
I am going to go high also. I had a really good week. Was, I don't want to say surprising because I usually have fairly good weeks, but the kids, they were on board and enthusiastic about what we were doing. But I want to specifically give a shout out to my PE teacher, Jenna, because she is just so wonderful to work with. She is so flexible. And this comes into play often because we had a talent show just Friday, and the talent show, it was like broken up into two different shows because we had half the school watch 1 hour and half the school watch the other hour. And yes, it's almost about 2 hours long. So, when they do the nighttime performance, it's going to be a long haul, but that's great because all the kids did great. But when that happens, when performances happen, my room is the stage. So the walls have to come down. And so the PE, the gym, and the music room are taken up if there's a talent show, if there's any kind of thing that has to use the stage. And so that was all fine and good because we had our students watch the performance. However, then the talent show ends, and it's not like somebody gives us a 20-minute break to put everything together. That doesn't happen. Kids still keep coming at us. So my PE teacher has just been so helpful with like, okay, let's just double up our class in the gym and we'll do such and such game. And, she let me go and like try to put together some things. And I finally learned how to properly put the wall up all on my own. And it's just been really nice to not stress about that, because I don't know if you've ever tried to like do a lot of that in like a 5-minute window between classes, but that can really stress you out. And I'm just very lucky. Thank you, Jenna, for being an awesome teammate. She's just always ready to do what we need to do to make it all work. So I am so happy to have awesome teammates. My PE teacher and my art teacher are just phenomenal. And I'm just so, that just makes my day, makes my teaching life, makes my working life just lovely to have awesome teammates.
Awesome. So now it is time for our main theme, and typically after an OAKE conference, we usually have an episode where we share our thoughts about the conference and our favorite sessions and things we got to see, and we're still going to do that, but maybe through a slightly different lens today, partly because, well, I didn't make it to as many sessions as I would have liked to. I am on the board right now, and I'm co-chair of the fundraising committee, so I spent a lot of time sitting at the registration desk, and I'm happy with the work that I do for Oak and happy to be a part of that. But because of that, I don't make it to as many things as I'd like to. So that's part of the reason why I won't be able to share as much about sessions that I went to, because I didn't go to a lot. But in addition, something has happened in the musical world and we want to recognize it. So we were supposed to record this podcast last weekend, but I was sick and wasn't able to record. I'm kind of glad because we want to talk about Beyonce's album, Cowboy Carter, just dropped, and Tanya and I are all excited and all abuzz about this and what it means for us as music teachers, and specifically Kodai-inspired music teachers. And I'm going to let you take it from there, Tanya. What are some of your thoughts?
Well, Carrie, thank you for being like so positive in entertaining all of this, because
no, I'm excited too. I'm very
excited. I know.
But I just want to make sure we don't go off on too big of a tangent.
That's no, you can reel me in for sure. But I mean, I know you and I just spent a lot of time talking off mic about how to approach all these things, because we pride ourselves in giving very practical advice. We have several episodes where we're like, this is a song and here is an activity and here is a game and here is a strategy. And, you know, here is what it can look like in your music room with this specific grade or with this specific type of students group. So we do that, right? And we enjoy doing that. And that's awesome. And this conversation might be a little more larger philosophical in scope. But all that to say, yes. The Oak Conference gave me lots of things to think about. I saw several sessions that I was just really, were really refreshing to see from a cultural standpoint. We had a lot of sessions that dealt in very specific musics from other cultures. There was a song, a session on Puerto Rican music, a session on Indian music, Christopher Roberts and Sarah oh my goodness.
Bartolome, I think.
Bartolome, yes. Did a session on world music pedagogy, which, you know, was just my jam. And all of that was just really exciting and inspiring. And I did not go to all of these sessions. But anyway, so that happened. It's always great to connect with other music teachers that we know from all over the country. So that's always exciting to have these conversations with people that we don't get to see all the time. But also we wanted to highlight how Oak in particular is really including a lot more of these culturally responsive attitudes and sessions. And that's something that's really worth celebrating. The Beyonce connection comes in with, along those same lines, and I will, like, this Beyonce album, it dropped yesterday, right? It was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And because we're recording this on Saturday, and I did not listen to the Beyonce album until this morning because you told me to, Carrie.
I was like, this is your required listening.
Uh-huh.
Not for the podcast, totally, just because I knew you were going to love it and I was excited to talk to you about it.
Okay. Yes. And I do love it. And I am coming to the table as I'm not a Beyonce fan in general. Like, I like some Beyonce songs, but I cannot tell you that I've listened to. It's not like, oh, this album was so pivotal for me. I don't have a wide knowledge of Beyonce music beyond what we consider the big hits, right? Mm-hmm. But this album is going to be, I mean, who am I to say? But this is huge. This album is very It's going to be very influential, I'm thinking. Carrie and I, we talked about how already there are people who have dropped reviews and podcasts that I listened to have been talking about it. And I have not listened to any of those on purpose yet because I need to listen again, and like write things down and formulate things before someone else tells me what I think. Not to say that I'm going to necessarily take on other people's opinions, but I got lots of thoughts. And my number one thought is, it is very obvious that this is all about genre blending and genre hopping and embracing different types of music, and also statements about down with the gatekeeping over country music or any type of specific music. And that is like a really powerful message that is really relevant to our culture as a whole, but I think also relates to us as music educators and how we need to embrace that idea of not just genres, but also in thinking about, and this is where the gatekeeping part comes in. We need to think about how we want to be inclusive as far as inviting people into Kodai-inspired teaching training and our Kodai-inspired world, our Oak community, and our Kodai music teacher community, and our music teacher community overall. We really want to be inclusive of that. And why is it taking a while for this to happen? I think that we're at the beginning of this happening in the Kodai-inspired world. That's a very vague general statement because there are some groups of Kodai-inspired teachers who are doing a better job than others, or who are, let's not say that, who are further along in showing this inclusivity of not just genres, but of like, hey, we're all going to be better music educators, and let's all learn together, and let's not keep this knowledge. And then you and I had talked off mic about why the gatekeeping idea and feeling exists. And it's because when you go through Kodai training, it's hard. It's a lot. And you learn a lot. And when you are done with it, even when you're done with just one level, or hey, when you're done with just the first week of one level, you should feel proud and you should feel like, look at me, I did this and not everybody did this. And that is totally understandable that any music teacher who goes through 1 week or 3 years or even more training would feel like, I have this knowledge, I have this experience, I took it into my classroom, I did my song analysis, I did my pedagogy homework, I did my conducting, I was in the choir, I did my musicianship, and now I'm reaping the benefits. And so that's why that gatekeeping idea exists. And also, depending on who you study with, that's another part of that whole idea of the gatekeeping that we sometimes see in Kodai-inspired teaching. Not to say that other methodologies or schools of thought don't have that also. I'm only speaking from the world that I know.
And a big thing at Oak this year, because it was our 50th anniversary, was we were highlighting a lot at the conference all of these pioneers who brought the philosophy, from studying with so and so in Hungary, or Katinka Danielle here in the United States, who was from Hungary, and then all of these names and the way all of these things have trickled down to what it is today. And it's important that we understand the history of Oak as an organization and all of these people who did this wonderful thing of bringing this philosophy and methodology, if you want to call it that, from Hungary and applying it to here in America. But we know that it's gotten bogged down with then, oh, well, who did you study with? And then who did they study with? And then it becomes this lineage thing. If you've studied with this person, then you're okay. But if you've trained here, maybe your training isn't as good. And that's To me, I don't hear those conversations happening as much as I used to. I feel like when I got my Kodai training early on, and this was also me being very young when I got my Kodai training, I was just totally intimidated by everybody in this world. I didn't think I had a voice. I didn't think I had a place. And all I was doing was regurgitating information that had been taught to me. And I was very scared to put my own spin on it, to put my own voice into it. And something that really excites me when I look at the face of Kodai-inspired teaching today, as I saw at the conference, is that it looks very different than it did even 5, 10 years ago. We have a whole variety of folks coming from so many different places and spaces and have all these great ideas of how can we take this tried and true, beautiful philosophy, but apply it to kids today. And this idea of like genre bending with Beyoncé, I feel like we're kind of pedagogy bending a little bit. And that's a good thing, right? Like, how can we take some of these things, but then put a modern twist on it? Yeah, so those are my thoughts on that.
Well, and then another parallel, because if you're rolling your eyes at the hey, Beyonce and Oak conversation, another parallel that I made was that as I was listening to Beyonce's new album and hearing, oh wow, that's a shout out. That's a direct quote from James Brown. Oh wow, listen to this guitar line. This is definitely from here. Oh, now we're referencing the Beach Boys. Like it was like all these tiny tributes and all this interpolation that was going on in the album. It acknowledges, okay, so I'm blending genres and I'm still acknowledging and giving props to the pioneers before me. So
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was like, well, that's exactly what we need to do in Kodai-inspired teaching, is that we do need to recognize our predecessors and we do need to recognize the really strong, brilliant minds in Kodai music teaching that have been around. And we also need to blend it all together.
Right. Right. So, with that said, do you want to highlight a few? I mean, you kind of mentioned a few things that you saw, a specific session or something from Oak that you wanted to highlight. Sorry, I
Well,
just put you on the spot.
you did just put me on the spot. I mentioned Christopher Roberts and Sarah Bartolome's session. That was really wonderful to see because you and I had a book study. You can look this up if you would like. We had a summer book study, oh, a few years ago. I'm sorry, I don't have the episode numbers, but they're,
That was our
a
very
while
first
ago.
book study we ever
That was our
did.
very first book study where we
Yeah.
read World Music Pedagogy for early elementary music classes. And it was just really nice to see some specific examples of both of them going through, okay, so let's listen to this piece of music and let's talk about taking it through the stages of the world music pedagogy process of how to do some active listening with kids and all of that. So that was really wonderful because it was so specific and hands-on, and it was different. When we read it and we talked through it, you and I, we didn't get, it was in the summertime, so we didn't get to like directly take it into our classroom.
Right.
And honestly, since we've read the book, while I have included listening and active listening, I have not gone through these other stages of the world music pedagogy process.
Right.
So this was really encouraging to see and go, oh, that's, I can do that. My kids would go through this with me. I totally understand because I get to see it in action. So
Right.
that was wonderful to see. I also went to a panel with Crystal Hendricks, and it was a panel with culture bearers. And it was really talking about, and Crystal, she just hosted it and she let the other parents, who some of whom were also not music teachers but teachers from her school, and she teaches at a lab school, and she has a lot of parent involvement. So Crystal mainly like set the stage, and then the spotlight was really on these culture bearers talking about how their experiences in being approached on sharing musics, sharing their stories from their community. People in the audience got to ask questions about, oh, well, it's Ramadan. And as a Muslim, how do you What do you want people to talk to you or ask you about when it is Ramadan? Not to say, and they were very clear about this, no one person is a monolith of their culture, but it was just really nice to hear some specific experiences of, okay, I'm wanting to include culture bearers in my music classroom, and what's a way that has been successful for you, and how do you feel when you're approached this way? So that was really fascinating.
Yeah. One of the few sessions that I finally made it to, it was one of Cody Raven Morris's sessions, and
Oh, she
she
is
did
phenomenal.
multiple sessions throughout Oak. She did the morning sings as well, and I just heard everybody raving about her, and I was so excited to get to her last session, which was, oh, I just had it in front of me. It's called, I just didn't want to get this wrong. So one second, where is it? When I Grow Up, Finding Strength in Self-Acceptance and Community Care. And in that session, she talked, I mean, all about that, finding, having students, highlight their own selves and their own strengths and finding self-identity in the music room. She gave us a couple of choral pieces that are great examples of ways to enter that discussion with your students. And it was just a very inspiring session, just about, what I mentioned earlier in my high of my student finding confidence through music. It's like, how can we make this just bigger than just what we're doing every day, ta-ta, ti-ti-ta, in our classroom? How can we bring forth these bigger feelings of confidence, self-acceptance, creativity, and just being good citizens of the world, right? So
Yeah.
that's a lot for like a 1 hour session, but she even said in the session she considered all of her sessions throughout Oak to be kind of like one big session, and she was just continuing on. So I'm excited to go back and read the notes and find out more that she did in the other sessions that I didn't get to. But shout out to Cody Raven Morris, because she's doing some really awesome stuff.
She really is. And I was at that session too, and it was funny because I didn't see you there
I
because
didn't see you
we
either. I'm still wondering if
were
we were really at the same session, but I
I
believe you.
was
There were
there.
pillars in the room. It was hard to
Yes,
see.
there were some big, big pillars. She was phenomenal, and when I was there, I was like, "Oh, I wish I would have made it to her other sessions."
Yeah.
It's always that problem of there's like all the things that you want to go to her all at the same time. I mean, there wasn't a block that I didn't want to be somewhere. I also wanted to mention Jana Martin's High Five Choir.
Oh yeah, I
It
was going to talk
she
about that one
did.
too.
Oh, were you there?
I was, again, I slipped in the back because I had to come in a little late and leave a little
Okay.
early to get back to my desk. But yes, I was there. It was
Okay,
amazing.
you talk
Oh yeah,
then.
because I don't get to say much. She had her choir, which I missed the beginning, so maybe she explained. Is that her specific school choir, or is that more of like a community choir made up of students from multiple schools?
No, that is her school
Her
choir.
specific school choir. Okay.
Yes.
And what she was demonstrating through us to us through this demo session is how to meet the needs of all students, neurodivergent students, students, could have mobility issues, just anything going on with your kiddos, and some of the accommodations she provides and ways to give them a voice, literally through like those like electronic like talking machines for students who maybe aren't able to speak on their own. I loved the like warm up kind of intro where each kid got to say their name and everybody echoed it back, was super cool. The literature that she chose for them to sing was all very positive and inspiring and accessible to all students. So yeah, and then anytime you get a demo session with real life kids, it's just always super exciting. So thanks to
Yes.
Jana for that awesome session. That was super cool.
And I wanted to highlight that session also in thinking about how far Oak has come as far as performances throughout the conference,
Yep.
okay? Because let's go 10 years back, because I was going to conferences of Oak 10 years back. We not only would there be choir performances of kids who were part of the Oak choirs, but also there was lunchtime choir performances or like an afternoon choir performance. And they were usually the cream of the crop choir, children's choir of the whatever town we were in. And it was usually really just stellar, high quality, what I don't know how to describe it because I don't want to be I'm
Well, they're
not
auditioned choirs.
they're
They're not,
auditioned choirs,
yeah, they're
yes.
not your typical elementary school, everybody's welcome choir. These are auditioned, hand-selected kids, which just serve a different purpose.
Exactly. And you had spoke about, when you started your Kodai training and how you were scared and intimidated. Okay, so that is fine, of course, to see these high quality choirs who are performing this high level music. They've auditioned to be there, but that does add to this whole expectation of, oh no, my kids don't sound like that. Oh no, my kids don't perform like that. And it's really wonderful to see kids who are enjoying choir, enjoying singing together. And it's not about, but this is the cream of the crop, you
Right.
know? It's about the inclusivity of it all. And it's about we are singing together and really back to Kodai's vision of music for everyone, not just the people who pass the audition.
Exactly. And what, yeah, the excitement that I feel when I go to the Oak Conference or even when I go to local workshops and hear about training programs and things is I think we're finding a better balance in the Kodai community of, we always have this, very high level musicianship, high expectations for ourselves as teachers, as well of our students. Only the best is good enough for a child. But I think our definition of what is the best is what is changing and evolving, that the best for this student isn't the same for the best as for this student, right? That kids are all at different levels. We as educators are all at different levels, and we can still keep striving to be better. No matter what level you start at, we still keep striving to be better, but we can do it in a way that's inclusive and makes kids feel good about themselves and makes teachers feel good about themselves and not just feeling like, oh my gosh, my kids can't sing this interval perfectly. I'm a failure as a Kodai teacher. It's not about that. It's about the feeling that my kids get when they walk out of my classroom. And yes, I want them to sing in tune. Yes, I want them to be musically literate, but it's bigger than that. And I think that's what I get excited about. And you and I talked off mic a little bit about, the stereotypes that have been and continue about Kodai-inspired teaching. But I hope that through conversations like what we're having and the things that are going on, people see that it's still a really beautiful, relevant way of teaching kids, and getting Kodai training now is different than getting Kodai training maybe 15, 20 years ago when you and I did it. I know the way I teach it is different than the way it was taught to me. And I think that's purposeful, right? That we can still have these like pillars and we can still have these high expectations, but we can come at it in a way that's more inclusive.
Exactly. And it's interesting because I think about teaching level one pedagogy and folksong analysis, and how every year I change it up a little bit or a
Yeah.
lot of it, and how I am still, it's never the same 2 years in a row. And there are things that I think back on when not just when I well when I was starting to teach teachers, that some of the not just messages, like direct things that I emphasized are things that now I don't feel the same way at all, right? So I mean, that's good. It means that I'm not stuck in one way of thinking, right? I feel a little bit bad about how my messaging, especially this idea of only the best is good enough for a child, about how I have reframed that and what I think now, what that means, the best, right?
Right.
And there was a time where I was saying, no, we're not including pop music, for example, in the music classroom. Jordan, you were right. I was wrong. Please believe me. That is definitely something I want to include, right? I want the students in my room, whether they are grown-ups or little kids, if they're 5 or they're 50 or even older, because I am, that all music that you love is worth loving and is worth digging deep in, because it leads to more music and music brings us together. And so if the entry point for my 5-year-olds happens to be Baby Shark, then I guess we'll go there, right? And I'm going to bring them towards some other stuff, right? If your
Right.
entry is Beyonce and it makes you go, well, let's hear that James Brown tune. That's a brilliant thing. Like, that's a wonderful thing. Not because Beyonce is not as worthy as James Brown, not that. Just because you getting involved and getting interested and performing, singing, playing, and ruminating on any music brings you to more music and to more people and to more people that you can be a community with. That's really what it's all about, is
Yeah.
being able to relate to other people and through music. That's the best thing ever, and that's why I teach music. But
Right.
anyway, I know I'm going off, but all
No,
that to
that's
say,
wrapping it all up. It's beautiful.
yeah, it's just I like how these conversations that I have at Ho Oak and that I'm able to have with my colleagues bring me to these understandings that I can't get just in my music room all closed up on my
Right.
own. And then putting things into practice is the next piece that is really exciting to see what happens from there. And I loved seeing these sessions at Oak that were so very aware of, hey, let's make sure that we are culturally responsive. And it's a no better, do better time.
Yeah.
We've been a lot doing, we've been trying to know better and trying to do better, but let's talk more because you've got a
Yeah, I was
different
gonna
goal.
say this whole episode feels like one big know better, do better for myself and Kodai inspired teachers around the world. But I'm gonna give something just very a reminder, and it's very specific, and hopefully it's in the category of a lot of you probably already do this, but in case you don't, when thinking about your calendar for next year and scheduling concerts and all of your activities, make sure you are checking religious holy days and observances of all faiths, regardless of where you teach and what you might think about your students, because you never know who's going to move in the middle of the year. You might not think you have any Muslim students, but then somebody moves in, and you know. So, this was not something that was always on my radar when scheduling concerts. And you know, I would think about Christian holidays and you know, maybe be aware of when Hanukkah was, but that was usually pretty much it for a long time. And so I have come to make it a more regular part of my practice to make sure I'm aware of all religious holidays, because it might not be something where students are missing school, but it might be something that affects what they do in the evening or what they're eating or, you know, what they are able to do and not do. So our district has a really great religious observances calendar, and it even gives like beautiful little explanations of what students can and cannot do during those times. I checked, and that's like an internal document that I don't think I can make just shareable to everyone who's listening right now, but I did find just another, just by doing a quick Google search, something kind of similar. So I'll link to it in the show notes. You know, your district might be providing something like this anyways, but just a reminder, because it's that time of year where we start to calendar for next year to make sure you are looking at all religious holidays and observances and being aware of what your students are doing. So now Tanya's going to give us a work smarter, not harder teacher tip. What you got, Tanya?
Okay, something you probably are already doing or have been doing for a long time. But just in case you need the reminder, after a long break, like a spring break, it's a really good idea to take the first day back or the maybe even the first couple of days back with any of your classes to review the expectations and review like some of the things in the music room that you just take for granted because you're living there all day. That the kids might not remember or just might need a refresher. All that to say, as you are reviewing expectations, be very forgiving and patient because the kids have been away and they know you, they know your room, but they can't remember exactly where the calm down corner is necessarily, or that they could even go there, or what the procedure is when they want to go to the bathroom, or all of those things. I'm not saying take a whole class period. It really depends on your students. But I took some time at the beginning of every single class this past week and just said, here's a little reminder. We're working specifically on raising a hand when you have an answer to a question or you want to ask something. And throughout the week, each day, I highlighted something else. It's like, okay, today's strategy that we're working on is not talking when your neighbor has the floor. So it was really helpful and things went really well. I'm not saying it went well necessarily because of that. Maybe I just, I don't know, lucked out. Maybe it's a new honeymoon phase. I don't know. It's always worth doing.
Totally. And I like how you're doing one little thing each class period to spread it out. That's smart.
Well, we have reached our coda section where we talk about something we have been enjoying in or out of the music room. I mean, yes, that's what I mean, in or out of the room. But you're going to talk about out because we've been on spring break, right?
I'm actually going to talk about something Chicago related. Went to the Art Institute of Chicago, and I know you did as well, Tanya, when you were there. And, I'm recommending not the Art Institute necessarily, but did you use their app, Tanya, when you were there?
A little bit, but just the map part.
Okay. So they have, yes, a really cool app. It's a free app, the Art Institute of Chicago. And what I like about it is you can follow along and then you can listen to audio, explaining the different pieces of art if you like that kind of thing. So, you can listen while you're walking around with your AirPods or headphones or whatever, and it explains the piece of art. But I mean, you can do this from home. And this, so what happened was because, Sunday we went to the Sunday Spotlight with our fabulous Joe Kirk, our level one teacher. And then, by the time you say goodbye to everybody and leave the hotel, my family had already gone to the Art Institute, and right when it opened. And so I was joining them a little late in the game on Sunday. And so I missed a lot of what they saw. But like later that night, I just sat and looked and explored the Art Institute on my phone because I've been there a lot. And of course, seeing artwork in person is obviously the goal. It's more impactful that way. But if you just like to sit and learn about pieces of art, you can just download this app and you can click on a painting and you can learn about it from the comfort of
And
your own
do they
home.
have that for every single work?
Not for every single work, but for quite a few. I mean, way more than I thought. Like, because, and I think, that's what takes then so long when you go to a place like the Art Institute is I wanted to listen to the audio for everyone that they had it for while I was there and in person, and I didn't have time to do that. So I was like, okay, I'll listen to this later when I go home, so you can see it in real life. But, I don't know a ton about art. I've never taken like an art history class or anything like that. So having someone explain artwork to me is really helpful. So anyways, it's just a free app for the Art Institute of Chicago, and whether you're going live and in person or just want to learn more from your own couch, it's a fun app to explore.
Yeah, that's awesome. It was so crowded when we were there. I was a little frustrated because I was like, oh, come on, get out of the way.
I know. Well,
And
yeah, especially in like the impressionist area, and yeah,
And
there
my
were like
kids,
talking
I know
areas.
they've got like a limited attention span. If it was just me and my husband, I know we just could spend a
Oh,
long
yeah.
time. But when the kids are there, it's like I gotta make priorities, right?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
yeah, but
And
that's awesome.
so, yeah, next year at the Oak Conference, I don't know if I'll go back and again, but I feel like every time I go, I like to go see the biggies, the ones that everyone likes to look at, but then I try to go down an area that I haven't been to before. So, I'll probably end up going again next year. We'll see.
Okay, cool.
All right. What about you, Tanya?
Well, from the highbrow to the very lowbrow.
We enjoy all things.
Exactly. Hey, did you know there's a new Beyoncé record? I'm just kidding.
What?
That is not my coda because we've already spoken, but yeah, it's awesome. Check that out. Now, I've been listening to a podcast that I should be a little embarrassed about, but I'm not because it's really a lot of fun. I know I keep asking you this, but did you watch Emily in Paris?
Only like half of season one, and then I just it's not my cup of tea.
Okay, so I watched all of it because I had a very strange love-hate relationship with it that I
I
was
can see that.
like, oh, this character, the main character is just like horrible. She's just horrible. And because of this and because of that, and like, but it's so beautiful, all of the Paris, where they're going all over, and the costuming, like all of the clothes that she wears and the other characters wear, is amazing. And I mean, it's by the same makers of Sex in the City, so it
Right.
really sucks, it draws you in, so I just, it's like a car crash. I just could not stop watching, but I definitely was like, oh, I'm just hate watching this. Now there is a podcast that came out a few weeks, well, now it's a couple of months ago, but called Enemy in Paris. And it's these two comedians from other podcasts who, it's a hate watch podcast about this exact show where they go by episode and they talk about, oh, Emily's a horrible person because of this, that. So it's like what I've already done as I was watching this show. And it's just very amusing. It's very funny. I really enjoy it. I feel kind of guilty, but, it's just something that's just kind of fun because I can go like, I feel justified now
Yeah.
because other people have picked up on all these reasons why this show is really awful.
I think there's a podcast like that about Saved by the Bell, isn't there? It's called like Zach Morris is Awful or something like that. It talks about all the awful things in Saved by the Bell, which, especially now, dated. Yeah. But that's funny. Maybe I'll give it a listen about the few episodes that I watched.
It's fun. We've reached the double bar line. Thank you for listening to Music Teacher Coffee Talk. Show notes can be found at musicteachercoffeetalkpodcast.com. You can connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just look for Music Teacher Coffee Talk.
If you enjoyed the show, please consider subscribing, rating, and leaving us a review on iTunes to help others find this podcast. And we always appreciate folks buying us a coffee, so look for that link on our show notes and on our Facebook page. Until next time, this is Carrie.
And this is Tanya wishing you happy musicking.